Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we just are blessed to be here as men, Lord, just sharpening one another as we talk to one another, as the Holy Spirit leads those conversations, Lord. We just pray, Lord, tonight that all the guys can just somehow separate the things of the day, the issues of life that are happening, whether it's a job or a marriage or trouble with kids or a relationship in their life that's kind of gone bad for the moment. So, Lord, help us to set those things aside and be able to really, truly lock in and focus in on you tonight. By your Spirit, Lord, that you would speak to us your word and the things that you would individually have for us, and also as men, men in the church, men in our families and in our businesses, in the workplace, Lord, that we would be vessels, that we'd be open to being used by you. And so, Lord, we just come to you tonight with these petitions, praying, Lord, for different things. Obviously, just ones that come up are what's happening in the world and the war and Ukraine and Russia and all these things, Lord. You told us in your word that those things were coming, that there would be wars and rumors of wars, and that there would be unrest and pestilence and all these things, Lord. So not surprising you, and it shouldn't surprise us as well, because you told us about those things ahead of time. So, Lord, we just want to lift up Peter, praying for his health, praying, Lord, for whatever it is that's going on in Peter's life, that you would touch him and give him healing. We also lift up those that need jobs. We're lifting up John here right now, currently blessed with a temp job, but, Lord, looking for a full-time job, and that he would get hired soon. So, Lord, just have your hand upon him, if this is your will, to be able to have that full-time job, Lord, that you would open that door and that you would just give him peace in his heart as he waits on you and your timing. So we thank you for that. And we also lift up Daniel's prayers for the unborn, Lord. So many stories out there of people that were planned on being aborted but then didn't get aborted, but go on to lead these incredible lives, Lord, and testifying that if they had been aborted, Lord, that whatever those things that they're doing, that wouldn't be around. So, Lord, we just pray that you would speak to the mothers in a loud way, that they would hear your voice, and that you would do a miracle work in the leadership in this nation, that they would come to an understanding that this is not something that pleases you. And so, Lord, we lift up those defenseless babies, the unborn, Lord, and that you would fight on their behalf. So we thank you in advance for what you're doing there. We also pray by the Holy Spirit that you would change the hearts of those that need Jesus Christ, Lord, that need to be rescued from their life, from themselves, from whatever circumstances they find themselves in tonight, Lord. So just praying for salvation for many. Praying for Rich's son and his wife and their marriage. Lord, you are the God of restoration. You take the things that are ashes and you make beauty out of those ashes. And we lift up all the marriages that might be having trouble, spoken or unspoken, Lord, but we lift up Rich's son and his marriage specifically, praying for your work to be done. And Lord, I just pray and encourage Rich to be able to share with his son to just do what he can do to just focus in on you, and that you would change his heart, and that hopefully, Lord, his wife sees that and also surrenders. So when two focus in on you, Lord, that you would repair what's going on between them. Lord, we also lift up Tom's prayer about AB 2223, that would not pass, Lord, and according to your will, Lord, Lord, would you just intervene and cause these things to be defeated for the evil that it is. So, Lord, we trust in you on that. We also pray for this prayer request of one of our brothers here that just wants the Lord to hear him being abused and deprived of love, just asking for prayer to find that love that his heart is seeking. And Lord, we know that answer is you. We know that to find that love, your love, Lord, that can fill him and truly satisfy that yearning that's inside of him, Lord, that you would reach him and just speak to him loudly and embrace him, that he could feel your touch and he can sense your presence in his life, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would rescue him out of any situation that he might be in today that continues to go through that abuse. And we just pray for healing around his life and his heart, the damage that has been done from others in the past, Lord. May he come to understand that forgiveness that you gave all of us, Lord, when we give our lives to you because we abused you, Lord. We sinned against you, Lord. And yet you, in your love, died for us that we could have eternal life. What grace that is, Lord. So I just pray that you would work in his life as well with that same grace. And we lift up all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's a song by Jordan St. Cyr, and it's, "Weary Traveler, You Were Never Meant to Walk This Road Alone." And that was my first time I heard that. I listened to the message on XM Radio. The first time I heard that, it was, wow. You know, just those lyrics. And this really pertains to what Paul is talking about here in Philippians. And that is that we were never intended to walk this road alone in life. And so Paul is writing, and he's written so many great epistles. This one right here, there's a lot of things, as you read a lot more and you've been a believer for a long time, you will read these different chapters, and different books and chapters, and you will read, and Paul brings it back over and over and over again. This particular part of the book, this part of the book of Philippians, is what, this chapter 3, is what God has done for us. The first one is what not to do. The second chapter is what we should do. The third chapter is what has God done for us. And that's really important for us to understand that. God has created us in his image. And there's more packed into that than we can possibly imagine. But let's ask God to bless this time now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love you've shown us, the mercy you've shown us. Lord, speak to your servants now as we read your word and just think about those things that you've done for us. We thank you and praise you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God created us in his image. When he created us in his image, and it's unfortunate in the going back to Genesis, that's for my buddy, Mike. I always go back to Genesis. Anyway, in Genesis, it talks about the creation of all life, creation of the world. At that point, we were created special by God. Man was created special. Woman was taken from his side. We were joined together. And we were perfect at that point. We were exactly the way God wanted us to be. But then choice entered in, and bad choices were made. But when we fell, we still fell with that image of God in us. And that's what God is working on, allowing that image in us as he works through that image to free us from ourselves, to free us from our self-destruction, to continue in that sin. First of all, realization that we are sinners. As a young man, I was raised in a Christian home. At least one of my parents was a Christian. My father wasn't, my mother was. But I heard the truths. There was something that was there that was placed in me at an early age. But I went to school, and I was interested in biology. I felt that I could find the truths of life. I really believed there was truth out there. And I studied science to find that truth. All this time, I had the Word of God in my home. There was an encouragement to live that way. But I thought I could find those answers. And science can answer the what, but it can't answer the why. And that's what the biggest questions we have in our society today is why? What is the purpose? What is the meaning? Yet we go to things that are inanimate, things that are not life, that have no life. We go to them to try to figure out what this is all about. We'll never find it. Fortunately, I was rescued at 25 after I graduated from college. And for the first time, I heard the gospel at 25 years old. And I fell on my face because I realized all that I had learned, God had put in there, all this craziness that I had learned, he had provided to me. He gave me a brain to process this. Yet now he was going to use that to speak through me that I might share, even though I have that worldly knowledge, that knowledge, and also I was steeped in evolution. That's all I heard. That was the only explanation for the existence of life. But God used that to, first of all, save me, and then to show me how to share that, how to approach people. The meaning and purpose can be only found in God. The life that exists, the cosmos, everything, it can only be explained in light of God's revelation. The answers to all these questions are found between Genesis and Revelation. We can have all the answers we need as to why. Now, God gives us a curiosity so we can follow those things. How do we deal with the things in life that are constantly changing? That's what's so neat. God has built into us the ability to change and to change us. We don't have to stay as a baby when we became a believer. We begin to grow. And God is created within us that ability to hear him, let his spirit change our spirit, and then suppress that wicked nature we have. I've changed in my life. As new information comes along, I'm constantly assessing. Guys, I want you to think. Things have changed so much since 1960. Many of us grew up during that time, the 60s and the 70s. Look how much has changed, but nothing has changed. The generation right now thinks that this is the pinnacle. This is the peak of all existence. If you've bought into the idea that man is evolving, yeah, I guess so. But at the same time, we have not expressed our potential as human beings. We can't express our potential without God entering our lives and freeing that up. Each one of us, as Paul tells us, we all have gifts. As the scriptures tell us over and over again, we have those gifts. We have gifts in the church. Everybody has different gifts. That's what God's talking about. You have gifts. Let him free those gifts up. How do we react to change? Well, one thing is we're fearful. Once we got things like we like it, hey guys, I don't like changing things. I got my stuff where I want it. I don't want it to change. God has given our senses to us. He's given knowledge to us. He's given a sense of right and wrong. But that morality that we have, separate from God, is cruelty. Because it's changing. That's the kind of thing that we're experiencing right now in our society, a moral change. We're experiencing the craziness. Once you get separated from God, we're experiencing the craziness that occurs. Once we reject God's word, I'm telling you, I didn't think it could be this nuts as it is right now. Okay, but that's the end result. When you harness yourself to something other than the word of God, nothing is going to make sense. And if you try to make sense out of it, it only gets crazier. We cannot find it on our own. We cannot find that meaning and that purpose in life on our own. And Paul tells us that you can't. Paul, in his writings in Rome, he starts right at the very beginning of chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. We are without excuse. Paul says, before he goes into how to live your life, he's telling you, none of us are righteous. There's no one righteous. No, not one. Verse 21 says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images made to look like mortal human beings, birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity and for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Amen. That's what it said there. Okay. Paul turns to meaning found in God. That's where he takes us. Paul makes the, and as you read the full work of Paul, you see there's a consistency there in what he's trying to show. And, you know, some parts, even in this part of the latter part of chapter 3, it seems like Paul's being boastful, but he's not. He's admitted. He's the chief sinner of all. He knows that what he did was cruel and destructive. He tried to live by the law and by the righteousness of the law. But then when he met Jesus, it was the fulfillment of the law. There's no way that we can attain righteousness separate from God. And Philippians 3, chapter 3, just to go back and review a little bit, the chapter starting with verse 7. But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God through faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Knowing God means really letting go and letting God reveal himself to me. In my own endeavors, I can't find God. I must let him enter in and tell me about himself. How can a finite individual understand an infinite God? A God so absolutely infinite that he's bigger than what he's created. He's everywhere at once. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. How can I know him? But Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, Paul says, "For now we see only a reflection in the mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." What a powerful verse that is. Known fully and knowing fully. Known and knowing. What an unbelievable thing that is. Because when Paul talks about that inheritance that we have, that citizenship that we have in verse later in the chapter, that is what we need to keep our eyes on. That is the citizenship that exceeds anything we could do here. And I've enjoyed life. I think it's important that we as Christians be happy people, that go out and be joyful. It's really important. But don't let those become such a hold on you that it destroys you, because you will let go of one and hold on to the other. God has given us the privilege of pursuing him because he pursued us first. Paul was changed, and Marty mentioned it again last week. Paul was changed tremendously because of the people he had persecuted. He saw the love of these people of Jesus. He was searching them out and executing them. It was so powerful. If you go and read chapter 7 of Acts, Paul's speech, what he laid out, man, I'm telling you, it's powerful. It's powerful. And Paul was right there, and he heard that. Paul stood there, and he held the clothes as they stoned him because he was the overseer. That was powerful. And it changed Paul. Verse 12, Chapter 3. I knew I'd get there eventually. You guys know me. Pressing toward the goal. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. This idea is going to the end. It says that God has grabbed hold of him. He wants to grab hold of what God has given him. God has laid hold of all of us. He is beseeching you to grab a hold of him, to let him come in and live in you. Because he says he will. He says he will. All we've got to do is invite. The greatest thing about Jesus, he's not rude. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He didn't say, I knock it down and come in. And the other thing is, we try to clean up before we bring him in. It's like, you know, cleaning the house up before you have the maids come in to clean it up. It doesn't make sense. Besides that, you don't have the capacity. And we've tried that. We've tried to clean ourselves up. It's hard. But God has built into us a spot that only he can inhabit. It's in our hearts. He's built that in. It's so neat. It's like a secret chip that he put in there that nothing can access except him. Nothing can be accessed. That hole we keep trying to fill with all kinds of things in this world, and God has created it for himself. And the moment it gets activated is when you say, yes, I believe. I believe what you've done for me. He begins that process immediately of coming in and changing the way you view. You think where you are right now as a believer, and you consider that to what you were 10, 15 years ago. Man, I'm telling you what, that man, he's done a work on me. He's changed me from being a vile, filthy person into someone that is conscious of what he says and thinks, caring about other people. God has done this. And he does it for all of us. All we've got to do is say yes. He's a gracious and kind God, but he wants you to join in. And that's what Paul's talking here. What God has apprehended him for, apprehended you and me, I want to apprehend that. I want to grab a hold of it. He says, I haven't attained it. Nobody here believes that you're going to attain heaven here on earth. The thing is we've had heaven join us here on earth to help us get to the heaven that we'll eventually be in. God has joined us. He's come inside. He's always renewing the relationship with him. He is working on that relationship and also the relationship with others. It's really interesting. Once I got myself in a position where I was open to what God had to say to me, it's amazing how it changed my relationship with other people. It's amazing. You know, and as much as I like to be right, I don't always have to be right now. That was progress. And God is never through remaking human personalities. He's not through with you. He's not through with me. He's working to change us constantly, make us more like him. We need to be saved from ourselves. So going on to verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. He doesn't consider himself to have apprehended it. He hasn't gotten it. If you're feeling inadequate, that's a good place to be, because you're still letting God change you. You are a reclamation project. Okay. Senior moment. Anyway, we're a reclamation project. And one of the things that I tell my coaches when I'm coaching, You got a kid that comes in, and he's been playing ball for quite a few years, and the kid comes in, and the coach starts nailing all the things he's doing wrong, and we got to change this, got to change that. I said, wait a minute. This is not, we're not building a house, we're remodeling the house. You've got to change things a little bit at a time. You've got to bring them to the point where they realize they need your help. You come charging in, you start trying to take things away from, do this, do that, they're going to reject you. What you do is you come alongside them. That's what God does with us. He comes alongside and he says, hey, you mind if I tinker with this a little bit, change this a little bit? And you go, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I need that. We need to let him release our creative powers. God has created this in us, and only he can release it. He has created it, only he can release it. We see people trying to use their gifts, try to use their gifts on their own power. It's never as beautiful as when God releases that. On Sunday, Jeff talked about those sins of our past and how that, you know, it's they can cripple us. And it was for me, it was a difficult time. And it was good when I was sitting and listening to Jeff, I smiled because he was talking about how that we cannot go forward because we keep living in the past. God releases us from those things. And that's what Paul's saying here, going back to verse 13, the latter part there, it says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that are behind. That was hard for me. I still condemned myself over and over again because I was so, it was actually more offensive to look back at my sins than it was to actually commit them. It would hurt so much more. As I look back in light of Christ, I look back at my sin and they look so much worse. But we can't. Paul says, press on. Take what you have and press on for that higher calling. God has that for you. Those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize. We must see this is a prize that God has prepared for us. We have not reached our potential, nor will we ever. God is constantly expressing man's potential in him. Once you come to know him, he will continue. When we believe, he comes in. What he has done for us through Jesus, he comes in and continues it. The one thing we should look at our lives as, most of us have had children, you know, at some point along the way. But your child, and now my daughters are older, they're out on their own, it would be pathetic for them at 40-something or 30-something years old to be coming and acting like when they were 5 years old. Everybody that's been around a 3 to 5-year-old knows. That's why I no longer could be a principal of an elementary school, because they'll kill you, okay? I have renewed respect for mothers out there because that is a tough job. But think about that. You've got a 5-year-old, and then you got a 10-year-old, and then a 15-year-old. There's something new and different all along the way. It's always changing. You know something? Our Christian life is exactly like that. We're like a child that found the love of God. But it's working. He's working on us. And he's taking us through those levels of maturation, just like our children did. I rejoice to see my daughters today as they're independent women that can go out and raise children, have a marriage and work at the relationship because they love Jesus. The spirit of man is made alive by Christ to remake us, and not just us, but to remake our society. We, through our changes, we go out and change our society. Our Creator is not limited. Only by us is he limited. He has no limitation. But the one thing he loves us so much that he says, "Where are you? Come to me. Come to me." Ephesians 3:20, Paul says, "Now to him who is able to immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Now to him who is able to do, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That power in us, and you felt it. You felt it as God began to change you. Verse 15, "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same." This latter part of the verse, same rule, let us be of the same mind. It's not included in some scriptures. You know, I think that, but let us walk by the same. God will reveal even this to us, anything you think otherwise. In other words, if there's something that we disagree on as believers, let's not let it break us apart. Let God reveal that. Paul is confident that if they disagree with him on something, that God will reveal it to them. God will reveal those things. Why do we create so much division within the church, within our families, because we want to argue over inconsequential things? Maybe we think it's important, but it's always good to think, you know something, I might be wrong. Now, I know that's hard, guys. We don't like to say we're sorry. We want everybody to know we're in control. That's one of our strengths and weaknesses. We want to be in control. Be willing to say, maybe not, maybe I don't have this right. I'm infallible. I'm not infallible. I am fallible. We will not obtain perfection this side of heaven. God's word guides us as we assess new information in life, as we live in life, as we develop new relationships, relationships with new people. God is going to come alongside us, and his word will guide us. He comes alongside, and as we open up to his word, he begins to open our lives to other people. We want to win souls, not drive them away. Verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." Paul's not boasting here, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." He said it before in 1 Corinthians. He said the same thing. He says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That's what we should be doing. Follow me. We should be examples to one another, but not critical of each other. God says, "There's nothing forbidden unto you, but not all things are beneficial." If you're convinced in your walk that you can do certain things, and God has settled that in your heart, do it. Now, you want to be sensitive to other brothers and sisters in not doing things that may stumble them. Because the last thing in the world I want to do is to have someone go away from me, and somehow I've placed some kind of negative idea about who Jesus is. And we spend so much time arguing over things instead of letting God resolve it for us. Verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Verse 19, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Before we become too judgmental here, how much do we slide back? How much do we move forward, get some control over that, yet we slide back again? We move back into the world. Now, I'm not saying that this judgment is that Paul is talking about here is people that are enemies of the cross of Christ. In other words, they speak out against it. You see some of the craziest videos online. People spewing filth and garbage and saying some of the craziest things. And then you play it back to them and they're going, oh, that was me. Yeah, that was you saying those crazy things. People elevating themselves to the level of God. We're going to worship something. It's not a void. We're going to worship something. Life around us today is just like what's going on here. But that's what happens. What you see out here around us today is people living away from Christ. Maybe they're believers. Maybe they're going to church. But they step back and they're watching the garbage that's going on and they don't speak up. And then there's those ones, man, I'm telling you what, they're flat out proud of their filth. They're proud of the perversion that they put forth. It's amazing that people could be that unconcerned about other people that they would do the things. And we're seeing it worked out now. When you live separated from God, you see what happens to a society. There's a lot of people that benefit from a Christian worldview. In fact, the people in this country don't realize how everything we have is generated by a Judeo-Christian way of thinking. They don't even know why we practice 7 days a week. It comes from the law. It's not from science. Who came up with the 7-day week? Well, I guess it was God. But people think that they've got this all dialed in. Radical beliefs that end up leading to living for pleasure, worshiping the creation rather than the creator, as Paul said back in Romans. Worshiping the creation. It's amazing how that people will do all these things where they worship the environment, yet they're letting people die. They're worshiping the environment and they're supporting abortions. They're killing humans. In fact, some of them say it's better that humans became extinct so the world could exist. I don't think they read Genesis. In Mark 8:36, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And that's powerful. Because every time I find myself starting to move back and say, I need to get this or I need to do that, I stop and say, wait a minute. Do I really, really need that? Serving the belly. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. It's going to change it. He's going to take our bodies, our lowly bodies, and change them to a glorious body. Our citizenship is in heaven, where we're going, not where we've been. And it's really interesting. 2,000 years since these writings, almost 2,000 years, over 2,000 years in some cases. And I'm telling you right now, you can read what the Word of God says, and you can go, that's going on right now. It's going on right now. When you realize where you're going, and that's what Paul wants us to do, we're just hanging out here for a while because, man, we're going someplace. We're going to where God ultimately wants us to be. He wants to take us and restore us back to what he originally intended. I think that part of what heaven is what God intended in the garden before the fall, where we commune with him and we commune with his creation, and we're just blown away by all the things. I mean, what a science class that's going to be, where we can sit around and have God tell us about how he did all these things. The complexity of this world is so absolutely amazing. It is so complex. There's no way in the world it could be randomness. Yet people believe that. You have to really, really give up all rational thought to embrace something that says you. Now, we may act like we're random sometimes, but to think that you, the most insignificant person you've ever met in your life, is more complex than anything we've ever created. You're more complex than a 747. I wouldn't go any place like the 747 does, but the thing is, the idea is the complexity. But think about that. This is what God's planted in us. He's planted in us this knowledge and this wisdom to know things and to do things, be creative, just like he is. We were created to create. That's how we can have beautiful music. That's how you can see athletes do the things they do. I mean, it's a mind blower to watch some of these guys, these gifted athletes, men and women, go out and do incredible things. That is a gift. I can't even tell you how a kid can throw a baseball. He just does. The number of things that a kid has to do to throw a baseball is unbelievable. And have the touch on the ball to release it at the right moment. If you were to sit down and just analyze physiology of movement, it would blow you out to see. And these geniuses that reject God, they sit around in their labs and try to create things. They can't even create a tomato. But the thing is, God has given them a creative ability and they misuse it. It's clear to them. It's clear to them that God has given us our intellect. The peace that I've gotten as I grow older is unbelievable. What I love is this. I may be outwardly failing, but I'm inwardly growing. I feel more refreshed today than I have when I was in my 40s and 50s. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But I feel better. And it's not just the health. It's emotionally. I'm able to deal with some of the craziness that goes on daily. I mean, people ask me, what do you think of that? You know, hey, that's just man. That's just the way man is. Are you asking me something specific? You know, if you want to ask me something specific, then we can talk about it. But I found one of the best ways to talk to somebody about Jesus, the need for him, the presence of God in the world, is not to tell them, but to ask them questions. Ask people questions. Why do you believe that? And it's amazing how that nonsense starts to come out. When they start to, well, you know, I don't know, but you believe that. Yeah, I believe it. Finishing up. I'm free to live my life and more abundantly. And that's what Jesus said. I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. 1 Peter, I'll finish up with this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth and to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You are receiving it. You did not, it's not received, past tense, it's active tense. Receiving. You are continuously receiving those blessings from God. He is intervening in our lives on a daily basis, whether you acknowledge him or not. He's around us, he moves among us. And the thing is, all he's waiting is for us to say, come help me. You are receiving what God intended for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, because, Lord, without your word, we wouldn't know anything about you. That you've revealed yourself to us is amazing. Not only you've revealed yourself, but you also revealed your plan to save us. And also to reveal to us that you will come in and live inside of us. That, Lord, you want us to be with you for eternity. And that glorious body that you have planned for us. I won't try to understand. I'm just going to believe it. I'm just going to try. Just what I understand now about life, I see how great you are. Lord, help us to see that. Help us to acknowledge the greatness of you as a great God. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.